All right, if you got your Bibles this morning, Acts chapter 19. We're going to go back to Acts chapter 19. I make no promises that we're getting through the rest of it today. There's a lot in this chapter. Lots of good thoughts. Lots of good direction from the Lord. We left off in verse number 10, so we're going to pick up in verse number 11 this morning of Acts chapter 19. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this time to be together. Lord, we thank you for your word and your truth and, Lord, opportunity to sing praise and worship together this morning as, Lord, your family. And, Lord, I pray that you would just guide us now as we search your word for your direction. Lord, I pray that you would speak your words through me. And Lord, that today as your church, we might receive the message you have for us. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. Continue on in the study of Paul's missionary journeys. And we take into consideration here, as we read last time in the city of Corinth, that Paul was there and that he was speaking and teaching to some of the individuals that had not truly understood all of the details of salvation. They understood the baptism of John, as we read specifically there. They were baptized into John's baptism, but never really had truly received the Holy Ghost, had never truly been saved. And Paul brought many to that place of true, genuine salvation experience. And I wonder, you know, when we consider in the life of the church today, do we get excited when people get saved? Is it a joy in our heart still to see people come to a realization of Jesus Christ and not just simply going through the motions of things, but being a genuine follower of Christ? When we become a genuine follower of Christ, means that we have now allowed Him to be the leader, right? A follower means there has to be leadership and direction. And I think Paul was challenging in the hearts and the lives of these individuals in the book of Acts here to come to that faithful obedience to Christ. And we see, as we have all throughout the book of Acts, when faithfulness comes and when servants of God are faithful and committed to doing what God has called them to do, just as is the same situation today, we see conflict. We see difficulty, we see challenge, we see struggle, we see questions and wonders, and we see all kinds of things. And if you haven't realized it today, just take time to pay attention to the things that happen in the life of the church. Because it occurs every single day. It occurs in your life if you really stop to consider some of those things. We don't necessarily put all the puzzle pieces together every day, but that's kind of the way it works. Faithfulness to God brings conflict because we are no longer faithful and committed to the things of the world. We're no longer following in that pattern. And we see some of the same things that began to happen here. In verse number 11, as we pick up, it says, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists," it says, "took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." Now, I take into consideration what really is taking place in these verses. Paul was given special opportunity, and we discussed a little bit about this last time, that there are things that we see in the very early New Testament church that I don't believe are part of the church today as we know it. But this is one of those instances. Again, we spoke about speaking in tongues last time a little bit. Now we're seeing a healing ministry. And it gives us an indication in verse number 11 that it says, God brought these special miracles to the hands of Paul. Yep. There was nothing special about Paul. We recognize today that he was a man just like you and I. He was an individual that was faithfully serving God, committed to the ministry that God had called him to. And we recognize here something that's honestly, it's kind of a little gross if you really think about the description that we see in verse number 12 here. But we see that one of the things that we know about Paul that we've already read up to this point was he was a tent maker, right? He was busy about doing things, even in the world. He was faithfully sharing and preaching and teaching the Word of God, but he had to make a living too. And the way that he made his living was through tent making. It gave him an opportunity to minister to people. And he was a busy man about these things. And this is kind of where we see a little bit of the picture here, if you didn't catch that. It says in verse 12, "So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons." So these are like rags, if you want to take into consideration. These handkerchiefs and these aprons were the things that Paul wore around his body when he's in the midst of working. I don't know if you work out in the yard or you do anything like that, any kind of work, you know, especially when, on days like yesterday when it's 97 degrees outside, you sweat a little bit. The true picture we see in this verse in the book of Acts was that Paul's sweat rags were being taken to the sick people. That's the kind of power that God gave to Paul. It was not anything about Paul. It was not about his sweat. It was not about his abilities. It was about the power of God. To consider that God could take a filthy, dirty old rag of some guy that was willing to serve him, and they would take those rags, those handkerchiefs and those aprons, it says there, and they would take him to these diseased and sick people, and that presence of God was there. So there's an indication here that something that's very key for us to consider in this chapter, that there was nothing special about Paul. There was nothing special about his sweaty old rags. It was about the Holy Spirit's work through a man of God.
Amen.
Through a man that was willing to be diligent about the work that God had called him to do. And these rags were taken there, those aprons as it says there. The diseases departed from them and the evil spirits went out of them. Now you take into consideration here, one of the things that's very important for us to understand this morning in the life of the church, Paul was a man. And God had given him very specific ability, but he didn't have the ability to be everywhere all the time. Guess what? We serve a God that can.
Amen.
We have a God that has a Holy Spirit that is in every place all over this world at every second of every minute of every day. And it's an indication here that's so much deeper for us to consider today than it was anything about a man or his sweaty rags or any of those things. It was about the Holy Spirit that still lives and works and moves in the world that we live in today.
Amen.
And the presence of God is in this universe, in every corner of the universe. And He has the ability to work and to move in the hearts and lives of people. And this is exactly what we see was happening here. They took these things and they brought them into the presence of these sick people. And when they were grabbing a hold of these sweaty rags and those things, the movement of God was in that place and people were being healed. It takes out very seriously today, this morning, any consideration that you or I or any other person in this world can have some special magical power. Paul did not have that. He had a gift from God. He had the ability because God bestowed that upon him. It's important when we consider these things in these verses here. But it's kind of unique, an opportunity to see that God could even use a sweaty old rag for His will to be done. And it should encourage our hearts this morning to know, I believe wholeheartedly sometimes as Christians today, we get very discouraged in our lives. We get very discouraged in who we are and what we do. And if you're like me, and you may not want to admit it, but I'll admit it to you today, there's many a times when I feel so very inadequate about the things that I think God has called me to do that I struggle with it. I battle with those things, and inadequacy and inability to do the things that I know God wants to be done. And I struggle with those things internally because it's my human nature. God does not struggle with those things. And He's never intended us to struggle with Him if we will allow Him to do what He wants to do in our lives. If we will take steps of obedience, if God can use something as simple as a rag, could He not use each and every one of you? If He could use one faithful person that was willing to do these things and change the lives of people because of their now understanding of the Holy Spirit. And it's an opportunity for us to consider in the life of the church today that this is the same God and the same Spirit that works in your heart and your life today if you're willing to give your life to Jesus Christ. It's the same Spirit that we say we worship in and we fellowship in today. And it's the same God that could turn this community and the surrounding area upside down for Christ.
Amen.
And He could change your life and He could change my life if we'll get out of the way and allow Him to do what God wants to do. Paul was willing to do that, and through these things, this movement of the Spirit continued to work. People that were sick were being healed, evil spirits. We recognize here very seriously what we're discovering in these verses. There was great difficulty in this place. The individuals were struggling with these things. There was great rampant devil worship, sinfulness, evil, all over this place. And this is what we're going to see in the next few verses here. As we begin to see these things, it says, then certain of the vagabond Jews, and it gives us a description. They were the exorcists. These were people that were outside of the will of God, but they were striving to bring a presence of spirituality that really, honestly, was completely of the devil. They were bringing in devil worship. and devil obedience into the things, even as they consider it their that was religious. They took upon them, look in that verse, then certain of those vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus. Now these individuals that were now, they were performing all of these so-called miracles, and they were doing it in the name of the devil. They were doing these exorcisms in things that were contrary to the will of God. But they began to see something that was very different. I'll tell you what it was. Something that was actually genuine. Right? Because we know that anything that is not of God is false. Anything that is not of led of the Holy Spirit, and anything that is not truly movement of the Heavenly Father, is false doctrine, it's false teaching, and it is of the devil, plain and simple. And this is what was happening in this community, in this place. The individuals were there, and these exorcists were there, and they were putting on a good show. And people considered these things, but when they began to see the real movement of God, they seen people that were sick, that were healed, they seen evil spirits that were being cast out, and they weren't just saying that they were cast out, but there was a genuine change in the life of people. And they were no longer following the devil, but following the things of God. Then the exorcist that had been practicing this for so long said, well, if they can do it, we can do it, right? If this guy named Paul can do it, then we can surely do the same. And so they began to call out on these evil spirits, and they began to use the name of Jesus. Well, all he does is stand over there and say, in the name of Jesus, right? But we can surely say that. If you don't believe me, just consider this morning what we might see in the world today. That many of individuals today on a daily basis will call out in the name of Jesus, but not genuinely doing it out of their heart. They're making a decision based off of the world's ideas rather than the things of God. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing that these individuals were doing. So they thought, well, why not? We've done it before. Let's try it now. We're going to call it out in the name of Jesus, and we're going to try to heal these individuals. Look what happens. He says, in the name of Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Now, I don't know about you, but just consider this. They know they don't have the ability. So what do? They kind of attach Paul to the name of Jesus, right? Hey, you evil spirits, come out in the name of Jesus on behalf of Paul. I mean, that just sounds far-fetched, right? Because they seen Paul doing something, but they didn't know how to do it. They didn't know what was actually going on. They didn't really understand the whole process of the Spirit working and moving. So they just kind of tagged along. Well, we can call out in that name. We can do this. We can do that. So they attached those things to their supposed ministry. Start to begin casting out these devils in the name of Jesus by whom Paul preaches. You know, that Jesus that Paul's talking about, that's the one we're calling out these names. It says in verse number 14, there were seven sons of one Sceva, seven men, a Jew, a chief of the priest, which did so. Now we just take this a step further. You see what we identify in this verse. There were seven men, and they were sons of this man named Sceva. And look what it says. He was a priest, a religious leader in the church. These were his sons. Sound familiar? You know, that's kind of the conversation you have. The preacher's kids are the worst, right? They're always the bad ones. Preacher's kids are always the worst. This guy, the priests, the religious leaders in the church, they didn't know any better either. They were just going about these things, and they were striving to create something in the church, in this place, that wasn't genuine in God. And I want you to consider this morning how important it is today for us as a church to be genuine in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. To not be concerned with generating something that is not of God. But we live in a world today that wants to create some great atmosphere inside the church buildings, and some great thought and some idea and some special power that's passed along for all of these things that God never truly intended. And in this particular instance, this was what was occurring. The priest's sons were here, and they were seven of them were going around. This wasn't just one person. Seven different people wandering around, trying to cast out these evil spirits in the name of Jesus Christ, whom Paul preaches. Can you imagine what kind of a ruckus this caused? People began to see these things. And look at verse 15. And the evil spirit answered, and he said, look, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Can you imagine what that would have been like? These guys thought they had it figured out, right? And now, that more than they ever knew, this evil spirit, that just brings chills down your spine to think about, that this evil spirit can come out and say, you know what? I know Jesus. And if you didn't know that, the devil knows Jesus, doesn't he? He knows our Heavenly Father. No mistaking that he knows who he is and he knows his end. But the evil spirit says, I know all about Jesus. And then he gives us an indication here, the same thing that's so important with what we started out with. He knew Paul. Why? Because God had blessed Paul with an ability to do something. That's the recognition we need to understand from that verse. It wasn't about Paul. This evil spirit recognizes the Spirit of God in the servant of God. And he says, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but I want to know, who are you? Who do you think that you are? And look, it says in verse 16, and the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, and he overcame them, and he prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. This evil spirit, one man possessed with an evil spirit, this evil spirit overtook seven men. That caused you to think a little bit? Seven men doing everything according to the world's power and doing everything according to their plans and to their thoughts. Seven men were overtaken, and they weren't just overtaken. Look what it says. He prevailed against them. That means he really whooped up on them. He whooped up on seven men, and they fled out of the house naked and wounded. That means they're naked and they're bleeding and they're struggling for their life. I want you to consider this morning how important it is for the church to know that there is a very powerful evil force in this world. Every single day. An evil force from the devil that took over seven men. And we wonder today, why is it that it's so hard for people to know the truth of Jesus Christ? There is a spiritual battle that the church is faced with every single day. And the most important thing we could ever do is keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Keep our eyes focused on the Savior that we say lives in our life. As we know without a doubt that there is nothing in our human flesh that could ever overpower the evil forces that are in this world. We cannot do that. The only power greater than that evil force that we live in this world today is our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Heavenly Father that we say is the Lord of our life. These men found out that day what it meant. They've been playing around. I give you a special warning to consider in these verses that the thought that is very prevalent in the world we live in today is that we can mess around in that spirit world. We've got all kinds of people reading fortunes and telling fortunes and talking to the dead and doing all of these things. They want to get involved in these things. I want you to know today it's a very real thing. You start messing with those kind of powers, you invite a lot of things into your life that God never intended to be there. And it's a special warning for the church today to consider that evil spirit that is constantly battling against the church of God. These men found out very specifically. They fled. Wounded, naked. Look what it says in verse 17. And this was known to all the Jews and the Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Fear fell on them. Does it bring a little sense of fear into your mind when you hear verses like that? There was an evil spirit and there was this bad situation going on in the supposed religious life of the people that were there. And they were confronted with their own sin. They were confronted with their own unrighteousness. Confronted with the things of this world. And it says there very plainly, it spread. Of course it spread, right? If you consider these seven men that were going around doing all sorts of wonders and magical thoughts and ideas in their life up until this point, and Jesus dismissed it all in a second. Because they didn't have the power to do those things. Because God hadn't given it to them. And I want you to consider that this morning when we consider all the things that are going on in our world around us today. That power that is given by God will overcome all of the evil.
Amen.
And that power is through Jesus Christ, not through us. not through our human abilities, but the word was spread just like anything. Obviously, we see there the word was spread. All the Jews and all the Greeks that were dwelling at Ephesus heard it, and fear fell on them. Fear began to fall into their hearts. They began to wonder, what is going on? And because of that fear, the name of the Lord was magnified. The name of Jesus Christ was exalted. And people began to see that the falsehood of the world that they were living in was really, truly false. And that there was only one true God. And many, it says in verse 18, look, many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. I want you to consider what happened. One man, faithful to be a servant of God, faithful and committed to do what God had called him to do, a witness and a light in the world. The light through Jesus Christ shining through his life now brings him into this place in this situation where multitudes of people are now coming to this place. And you see what happened here in the midst of all of these things. This evil spirit is out there moving around. The sin of the unrighteous individuals is revealed. And what happened? People got serious about Jesus Christ. The name of the Lord was magnified. And look what it says. Many of them that believed, they came. And what did they do? Many believed because they saw the movement of the Holy Spirit in this man's life. They saw that what God could do through faithful service. And most importantly, they saw through the falsehood of the world. I want you to consider for a minute that one of the most important things that we could ever do in witnessing and sharing with lost people today is to help them to see the falsehood of this world that we live in. That's part of leading people to Christ. Helping them to see. And we consider for our thoughts this morning, what are some of those things that are false? That every person, because we live in this world, is good. That's a falsehood that is preached all over the world today. There's falsehood out there that says if I just do a lot of good things and help people that I'm going to be saved. There's falsehood that says that you get up and you go to church on Sunday mornings that you're going to be saved. The falsehood that says because grandma and grandpa went to church 50 years ago means I can go to heaven. That's false. The responsibility we have as a church is to help people to see Jesus Christ for who He is. That's what Paul did. That falsehood was revealed in these men that were wandering around calling out these evil spirits in the name of Christ that they didn't even know. They had no relationship with Jesus Christ. They had no power to do those things. And the falsehood was revealed. And when the falsehood was revealed and the sin and the struggle was revealed in their life, then others believed in the truth of Jesus Christ. You want to help people see the truth of Jesus Christ? Help them to see what's false. And they'll obviously see Jesus then. When Jesus... This is a difficulty in the life of the church today. We like to go up to people that we know need to know Jesus. We say, hey, you're wrong. You need to confess your sin and get right with Jesus, right? And we need to help them see what is really false, because if we define falsehood and we define sin according to the world, nothing's sin. Right? We really consider today, it's a free-for-all in the world we live in. Do what you want, when you want, how you want, whatever feels good. How do you explain that to somebody that needs to know Jesus? If the world says we can do whatever we want and Jesus says no, we've got to help them understand it. Not with a negative thought, not with pointing the finger at them, but help them to see the light of Jesus Christ. And when their sin and their falsehood was revealed, then people began to believe. It's what it says. Many that believed, they came. And what did they do when they came? This is the same thing we teach and preach every day in our church. They confessed. What did they confess? We don't need to know all the juicy gossip, right? They confessed their sin. They believed that there was something greater than them, and that greaterness was found in Jesus Christ. And they came and they confessed. And look what it says, and they showed their deeds. What does that mean? They gave up their old life. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together, and they burned them before all men. Man, now we took a step further, right? Not only did they confess their sin, and they understood that they were wrong in their life, and they showed their deeds, which means they got genuine in their heart. This is something we don't see in the church today. I want you to consider for just a minute what it might look like if as a church we were willing to be accountable to each other for our sin. We were willing to say, as a body of believers, you know what? This week I was pretty rotten. Here's some things I did. Now, I don't want to know your sin. You don't need to come and confess all your sin to me because I can't forgive it. But I want you to understand something. There's something to be said about accountability between brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. And if we'll be accountable to each other, and we could call each other up and say, hey, you know what? Zach, I need you to pray for me this week. I've been real angry. And I want you to pray for me about my anger. I want you to pray for me about my lack of whatever it might be, or my disability in this area or that area. We could call on each other and be accountable for those things. There was something happening in the New Testament church that we don't see today. They were believing in Jesus Christ. They confessed that sin. And they weren't afraid to tell people that they were sinners, because they were in right relationship. They weren't the Christian that we see today that says, I'm a sinner, but I don't want you to know about it. They didn't hide it in the closet or do anything else. It says that they brought out their deeds and they confessed those things. And not so that anybody could get the dirty gossip, but so that they could be humble before Christ. And when they did those things, something began to change. It says many of them others that were also in the midst of these curious arts. That sound familiar? You know, curious arts today? The same kind of nonsense we were just talking about. People are meddling around in the spiritual world thinking they can do something that God never gave them the ability to do. And those individuals, they brought their books and they started a bonfire. They burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. I don't know about you, but that sounds like an awful lot of money, right? I don't know. Some commentators say around $8,000 probably in our value. That's a lot of money. $8,000 worth of books. That'll tell you what people have been spending their money and their time on. Can you imagine what it might look like in the life of the church today if, as Christians, we came to the church out here in the middle of our open parking lot and we threw everything that is taking a priority in our life in a bonfire and got rid of it and got serious about God? And I can guarantee you our bonfire would go for days and it'd be a lot more than $8,000. Because there's so many things in the life of the church today that are taking priority over God. That's what happened in this place. They brought their books. They brought in all these things, and I want you to see what did it mean? It wasn't that they just threw their books away. It was about a change in their life. It was a condition in their heart that said, you know what? All this nonsense we've been living in does not matter anymore. That's true, genuine repentance. This is the indication of what we see. They believe. Oh man, what does that mean? Same thing we preach and teach every day. We admit that we're a sinner. We believe in our heart that the only cure for our sin is Jesus Christ. Then they confess their sin. I believe that Jesus is the Lord of my life. That's that confession we just read about. And then what happened? True repentance means that they went from the life they've been living and they turned around. That was the evidence in the bonfire they created there. True repentance says we're not going to do that anymore. We got rid of it. They put it to death. They burned it. That's true repentance in the church. And that's the kind of church that God can work in. It's the kind of heart that God can work in today if you're willing to do those things. And for us today on a daily basis, that we'd put aside all that nonsense that we hold on to and we'd be truly repentant of our sins. So mightily, look at verse 20, grew the word of God and prevailed. Man, could we say that today? What if we could say in Solid Rock Baptist Church in Fowler, Colorado, that so many people in the church got serious about our relationship with the Lord, that the Word of God prevailed. That the movement of the Holy Spirit was in this place. It says, mightily grew the Word of God. What does that mean? That others shared faithfully the truth of Jesus Christ, and it grew. And the body of Christ began to grow. Look what it says. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Aristus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. I told you we weren't going to get through the whole rest of the chapter. Paul had an urgency in his heart. He had a hunger for the truth of Jesus Christ. He had a desire for others to come to know Christ. And when he was faithfully sharing and teaching and preaching the Word of God, people were saved and lives were changed. I want to challenge you this morning. I don't think that God has given your sweat rags any special ability today. But there is the same Holy Spirit that can and will work in your life today.
Amen.
That will use you if you're willing to. Difficulty is we've got to come to that place, same place that these individuals came to, a place of admitting that we have a problem, we have a sin problem. We confess that sin, we believe in our heart in Jesus Christ, and we allow Him to do what He wants to do in our lives. It's the most important thing we could ever do. We want to see the faithfulness of the church. We want to see the Word of God continue to grow and abound as it did in the early church. We have to come to that place of repentance. Come to that place of obedience to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word and Your truth today. Lord, I thank You as we're reminded through the ministry of Paul in this place as we read it today, Lord, that He was a faithful servant of Yours. Lord, we know there was no magic powers or there was no special things that were of a human sort, but Lord, that Your Holy Spirit was working in the life of Your servant. And Lord, I pray this morning in this place, in this room, in our hearts, in our lives, Lord, that we would be challenged to move out of the way in our lives physically and emotionally, get our minds focused upon You and our heart truly centered in the things of the truth of Your Word. So that we might be the faithful servants that You've called us to be. Lord, You know every heart and every life in this room this morning. Lord, I don't know. Maybe there's someone here in this room that has never asked You to be the Lord of their life. They never confessed their sin as these individuals did in the book of Acts. They've never admitted that they're a sinner and that they needed to accept You as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray that You'd help them not to leave this place today until they've settled that in their life. Lord, we know that Your Word promises, Lord, when we've confessed our sin and we believe in our heart, Lord, that we'll be saved and that we'll spend everlasting life with You in eternity. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to do that if we haven't done it today. Lord, maybe there's other decisions we need to make. Maybe we've been putting off doing something that You've called us to do. I pray that You'd help us to do that. If we just need to confess sin and be right with You this morning, we need to make amends in relationships with people. Lord, maybe we just need to get on our knees and be right with You before we leave here today. Lord, whatever Your will is in this place, I pray You'd help us to be obedient today. And we're going to be careful to give You the praise. And we ask these things in Your most precious name. Amen. If you will, stand with me. You're going to use a hymnal. It's page number 300. Again, we thank You for Your presence here in this place. We thank You for Your love and Your truth and Your word today. Lord, I pray that You would guide us from this place. Lord, as we head out into the world and the things that are necessary for us in the days ahead, I pray that You would just help us to be encouraged and strengthened in Your spirit. And Lord, that we would just be the light that You've called us to be into the world. Lord, that others would be drawn to You through the power of Your Holy Spirit. We thank You and we ask these things in Your name. Amen.